It's the fourth week of the month in August 2020, and we're with municipal consultant Dax Norton here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Thank you so much for joining us on Zoom again today.
Yeah, we've made it to August. Can you believe it? I mean, Christmas isn't far away.
It's not. It's not.
I don't want to think about what Christmas 2020 could bring us.
Would you have thought back when this, we all started this in March and probably, yeah, because it was mid-March, so I don't know if we met in person end of March or if that was in April, that we would be where we are going into September.
Can't believe we're still, shifting almost every day how we do things to deal with the things that we're dealing with. But you know, I've seen a lot of good leadership. I think we're blessed with that, especially in here in Nashville and Brown County. It's, you know, when you're expecting so many people from outside, the outside world, to enter your small, close-knit community where we take care of each other, I think we've done that well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have an office in Indy. Have you been working with Nashville officials from Indy, or are you going down, or how's that working out?
Yeah, I've been on site. Last week I was on site a couple days of the week. This week I'll be on site a couple days of the week. Now, we're still conducting Zoom, all meetings in Nashville via Zoom. I think that's the best, safest way to do it. It's been rather efficient way to do it. There are some growing pains with how to conduct, an easy meeting, I guess, if you want to call it, on Zoom. But I think President Jane Gore, the National Council, and others, other leadership in the county and Nashville, have done a great job of adapting to holding their public meetings that way.
I was just looking at some of the numbers in Brown County. And of course, these will change. This is recorded a day earlier before it airs, but 83 positive cases, 2 deaths. Looking at some of the trends, 4% positivity rate, the state's around 7%. And I think that's what, when we've talked about before, looking at the trends, and it seems like Brown County kind of follows the rest of the state in terms of trends. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, it seems to be a little lower in positivity rate, which I think is a testament to people caring about, people in the close-knitness of Brown County and Nashville. And, we all look after each other. And for the most part, I think face coverings are worn, especially if you're from the area. Not from outside the area, you have that respect. So I think that, yes, it looks like it is following the trend, but seems to be a little less of an impact on Nashville and Brown County than it has been on some of the rest of the state.
It seems like that big increase when we talked a month ago came after the 4th of July. And now we're seeing, of course, Nashville, Brown County being a tourist site, that people are, shops are open, people are shopping, probably not what it would be normally, but still they are, but yet not really seeing that big spike. So are you in some way, or is the community feeling good about where they're at right now?
I've heard mixed, mixed reaction. Nobody wants any positive tests. I think some people probably thought that if it had stayed closed, that we wouldn't continue to see some increases. Obviously, that's not realistic. We have to be open for business. That's how we survive. I think it's actually gone pretty well since the reopening in July, and then obviously council meetings held about face coverings and ordinances put in place. And would we like to see more people that are consistently wearing face coverings? Yes. For the most part, people are very respectful. There haven't been any major incidents, and the rate has stayed relatively low. in comparison to the number of testing that's gone up. So it seems to be that Nashville and Brown County is doing a pretty good job in the battle.
Well, and something to talk about too, and I don't know how much of this you're involved with, of course, because the schools are a separate issue, but the Brown County schools undertaking in-person classes. And from what I've understood, you could maybe could speak more on this, but there are no outbreaks that we know of. I mean, and I believe it's just the majority of students are going for in-person classes and some are virtual learning. And I assume a lot of that has to do with rural broadband is just not what it can be there, right?
I would, you know, I was just on a call this morning with the Indiana Chamber Economic Development Policy Committee, and the very topic was brought up. Of rural broadband and its effect on whether that be positive or negative on education. And you're probably correct. It's better to be in person just to have that camaraderie of your peers, and because you may not be able to adequately learn due to a lack of broadband at home, especially in Brown County and Nashville, just because of, you know, the terrain, if anything, you know. You know, getting that product to some of those homes is going to be very hard to do. So I have not heard of any major issues with the school system. I know you talk about really good leadership and all the things they had to scramble to do to get the kids back into the classroom. It's an incredibly good school system, and they've done a good job of leading through this as well.
Is the town getting a lot of calls from people about, you did mention a little bit earlier about the mask mandate and other type of social distancing? I know some other cities have hotline numbers for people to call. Is that an issue there with all the tourists?
Doesn't seem to be. There have been a couple of complaints that the town has received of, you know, as a certain shop requiring their employees to wear them or helping to enforce the mandate. It's been very minimal from what I've seen and what we've heard, very minimal.
Mm-hmm. I saw an article in the Brown County Democrat about how the Brown County Music Center is being used as a multi-purpose center during the pandemic. And I believe it's owned by the county. So why not use it as meetings or having meetings there? And now the latest is a courtroom. Do you have any more info on that?
I don't have a lot of info on it, but you know, I've seen that happen not just there. I think it's happened at Old National Center in Indianapolis and some other music venues that have gone dark. And it's a really creative way to use a venue that's not being used for its original purpose. I think they've even invited, if you want to rent it for certain events and occasions. I think that's from what I heard or what I saw. That's part of the process, so to kind of reinvent its use until it can be used for what it's built for again, hopefully 2021.
And I'm sure that's just part of what would have to be a larger piece of the puzzle and keeping a venue like that open with no revenue. Have they been in talks with the county and how they're keeping paying the mortgage per se?
I am not real privy to that info. I think that all that's been worked out, though. Financial institutions have been very understanding. The county has been very understanding with the partnership with the innkeeper's tax and the way that the mortgage is paid for the facility. I think what you've seen is a whole group of people come together that are instrumental in it keeping, you know, continuing to be successful. Having a good understanding and working out the financial aspects so that it's still going to continue to be a great asset and draw for the county and the town.
Yeah, it's the getting by between now and then, and I'm sure a lot of local businesses are looking for the same. Do you have any other updates on foundation or grants or things that local businesses are now either applying or receiving?
So there is a grant open through the county. It's through the Community Foundation. Their executive director, Madison Miller, has done a great job of getting that info out to the businesses. I know she's been going through applications there. The town has applied for another round of funding through the Office of Community Rural Affairs. Another $250,000 may be coming to the county through the town and national government shortly. That would be a great program as well. And that threshold is that once again, grants up to $10,000 to the businesses. I think we hear about that the 28th, so Friday. Friday we'll know about that grant process and whether the town has received that, and we can start that process as well. So up to $500,000 from that process could be in the county and ready to be granted to some of our local businesses.
I wanted to follow up just on a couple things here before we go on some of the town slash county projects that are still in the works. I mean, we're in a pandemic, but you're still moving forward on essential items such as the sewer master plan. We've talked about the last few shows. I know it's been a month though. There have been some meetings, including some public comment. Because my question would be, how much of that are unfunded mandates? And we talked about this in Terre Haute and Greencastle, I remember too, of sewer and water plans, and how much is expansion and how much is current upgrades?
Yeah, so a good portion of it is current rehabilitation process for the current system. One thing I think was probably maybe shocking to some and not shocking to others is that the collection system in Nashville is greater than 60 years old. And 60 years ago, the pipe product wasn't what the pipe product is now. So, replacing that product, fixing infiltration of rainwater into the sanitary sewer collection system is important. Doing some upgrades to the actual wastewater treatment plant site to keep, any of those items out of Salt Creek during, like, say, flooding issues, but to make the plant run much more efficiently, and then also increase capacity by doing these things. There are a number of projects that are short-term, immediate need projects. Are they all funded? They are not. You have to really look and see in that plan what is the priority, and then go find the money, either that through federal grants, state grants, federal loan programs. So there are some good ones that don't have a major negative impact on the rates, because the ratepayer doesn't want to have, we don't want to get into the $70, $80, $90, $100 a month rates, because there are millions and millions of dollars. Actually, there are tens of millions of dollars worth of projects that can be done on the sanitary collection system in Nashville. It's a very good plan. It does have some regional elements to it. There's a regional sewer district, we want to be cooperating with the regional sewer district, help them as much as we possibly can on projects. The more sewer you get out into the county, and you have growth possibilities, and growth in assessed value is going to be very important for the next 20, 30 years for revenues to come in to be able to provide services that the residents are going to expect. So it's a very good plan, and I think there are about $7-8 million of immediate kind of action item projects that could be done just to maintain the current and rehab the current system, much less expansion projects after you fix those things. And then the expansion projects can happen, and then you're talking $10-20 million worth of potential projects. So it's pretty daunting.
What's been the public comment like so far?
Haven't had a lot. I think we've had some comment from the, make sure that we're working with the regional partners and keep it as regional as possible. I think the town's always been an advocate of reaching out and from regional perspective, and using the town's assets to help the regional sewer district and the county get people on sewer systems. Some people are always concerned that if you expand sewer in an area, you may have to forcibly annex. It's not the case. That's not true. Others are concerned that, oh no, if there's a sewer there, I might have to hook on. That might cost me a lot of money. There are laws in Indiana that state that if you have a failing septic system and you're within certain amount of yards from this from a sanitary sewer that yes, you need to hook on, but you know, there are ways to assist the homeowner or the parcel owner with that. So we haven't had a lot of I think we've had a lot of great constructive feedback. And that's why the council didn't adopt it. I urge them, we're not in a hurry. Let's get as much public input as we possibly can before we finalize and adopt this plan.
Does this tie in at all to any of the my kind of next subject, TIF districts that the county or town is looking at? The TIF districts collect property taxes in a district, right, and then uses those for improvements for that area. Are there any tie-ins with that?
Sure. I mean, TIF can and TIF often does fund water sewer projects in the tax increment finance in the EDA, the economic development area, or where the TIF is collected. So yes, the two should go hand in hand. The Redevelopment Commission, I have talked with their consultant Ed, and we've had great talks together. They should be prepared to have their own capital improvement plans inside that tax increment finance area so that they would know how much increment they need and how much they can help support any new infrastructure, including water sewer infrastructure inside the TIF. So the good news is that I think the current TIF is mainly served by the sanitary sewer system. It doesn't look like any expansions need to be done, but certainly if you build a new facility, say a new brewery and 75 new apartments, which is planned, you know, in the TIF, and the water sewer infrastructure is 60 years old, you're probably going to have to expect that part of that project is going to be a water sewer project as well. Can TIF help support and fund that? And those are the things that we need to talk about, and we are in planning for.
So I guess a last question would be, what's next in the timeline, and how can people chime in on this?
The plan is on the master plan, the sewer master plan is on the town's website. It's pretty easily accessible. We just urge people to, it's boring, but click the link, read it. If you have any feedback at all, I don't think anybody leans one way or the other. There's, you know, we want to make sure it's the best plan that's possibly out there for the benefit of the future of the community. So please give us as much feedback as possible on the sewer master plan.
Sure. We're out of time, but I did want to ask, is there anything else on agenda that we should know about or people should know about or take a look at too?
You know, I think coming up is comprehensive planning process for the town. I've talked to a couple council members. They think it should be a number one priority. Which then also includes, you know, transportation planning and also includes bicycle pedestrian master planning. So that'll start to be discussed, I think, pretty heavily in the next 2-3 months.
Okay, we'll have to follow up on that in September, which is just right around the corner.
Can't believe it.
Fall season, another big event for Brown County.
Well, the biggest event. We're coming up on the biggest event, so yeah. We'll have to plan accordingly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. For those listening and want to ask a question, you can email news@indianapublicmedia.org. Thank you.
Thank you.